AG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The U.S. and Germany unite in support of an ally in need.
Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz saying without the EU and U.S. support,
Ukraine will have not the chance to defend its own country.
President Biden pushing his own Congress to make sure that happens.
How much is at stake? I better step on.
U.S. Senate now working on that Ukraine-Israel-Taiwan funding, minus their failed border bill. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Ukraine's president met with a bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers in Kyiv a day after the Senate voted to work on that emergency spending bill, which includes aid to the nation, Israel, and Taiwan. A day after the special counsel's report, President Biden says he's going to appoint a task force to oversee the handling of classified documents during presidential transitions. Hawaii and California both shaken today by earthquakes. The S&P closes above 5,000 for the first time. This is ABC News. Prince Harry will receive a substantial payout for the remaining claims in his phone hacking case against the Mirror Group newspapers.
The financial deal struck relates to more than 100 stories, the sources of which were claimed to have been obtained illegally. Outside of court, Harry's lawyer, David Sherborne.
Our mission continues. I believe in the positive change it will bring for all of us. It's the very reason why I started this and why I will continue to see it through to the end.
The publisher said to be pleased to have reached the agreement to move forward from events that took place many years ago and for which it's apologized. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
Yeah, that was a kangaroo that residents in a Florida apartment complex say they saw hopping around. They say the roo seemed to especially enjoy the pool area of the complex. The Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department was called in, managed to corral the animal and return it to its owner. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Always a good time when you stop in at Ooga Brewing in Beaver Dam. You're invited to enjoy live music from Dave and Mazzy Saturday night, February 10th from 7 to 10. And Ooga Brewing presents Fly Time with the Aldo Leopold chapter of Trout Unlimited Thursday night, February 22nd at 6:30. It's all happening at Ooga Brewing Company, located at 301 South Spring Street, part of Beaver Dam's vibrant downtown.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Outgoing Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm. The way I joke about it is I'm probably not doing my job right if somebody's not ticked off at me most of the time.
The only way you can do it is if you have that steadfast commitment to doing justice. That tension's built into it, and that's quite frankly what makes the job just so phenomenal and exciting and fun.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hi. For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Workers at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin have overwhelmingly voted to form a union. They will be represented by the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals. They expect the National Labor Relations Board to certify the results of their election in the coming days. Planned Parenthood officials say they look forward to building a good working relationship with the union and will bargain in good faith to provide excellent patient care across the state. Green Party candidates will be on election ballots in Wisconsin this year. That's after Wisconsin Election Commission action yesterday. A Green Party candidate could make a difference in a close election in a key swing state, and the latest Marquette polls suggest President Biden has the most to lose from third-party and independent candidates. Jill Stein got more than 31,000 votes in Wisconsin in 2016. The Green Party has yet to put forward a nominee. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Bucks with another loss. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks slump continues. They lost at home to the Timberwolves, 129-105. Doc Rivers says his team was tired from their five-game road trip. Rivers asked about the team trading for one of his former players on the 76ers, Patrick Beverley.
He is a very, very high IQ player, especially defensively and even offensively with his movement and stuff and setting picks. He's also an instigator. He's a big talker defensively, not meaning trash talk, meaning he talks on defense. And I think those are some of the things that we need.
The Bucks also traded Robin Lopez to the Sacramento Kings for a cash consideration. Robin showed up to the Bucks game reading a book. His twin brother, Brooke, back after missing three games, was asked if he spotted Robin in the seats in street clothes.
Did you notice Robin sitting courtside, eating popcorn?
Yeah, he was there. He's found a way to show up somehow.
That's the Bucks' Brooke Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the upper 20s. And partly sunny into tomorrow, high upper 30s. A mix of sun and clouds and a high approaching 40 Sunday. The warmth continues into early next week. Sunshine at around 40 degrees for Monday and Tuesday. Currently it's 37.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
There's nothing better than the Vilas Zoo and the Old Brick Gardens.
Except maybe Mad Radio 92.7. WMDX. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Wow, is this great. Friday night in the state of Wisconsin, broadcasting live from the city of Green Bay. It's kind of like the best of all worlds. Great to have you with me on a Friday night, pre-Super Bowl Friday night. This is like a holiday, sort of. A lot of people consider the Super Bowl like a holiday. Even people that don't really like football like to watch the Super Bowl, or maybe they just like to go to parties, but there's something in the air. It's a big, I know we're upset because the Packers aren't there. They had a pretty good run anyway, though, but it's almost fun to watch a game too when you have no skin in the game. Just kind of a little more chill. You don't have to like freak out and almost want to throw furniture if your team doesn't do well. So that should be fun. The Super Bowl will be fun. Tonight is a Friday in February where we are barreling through winter, folks. If you're like me and don't like winter, and I know I sound like a broken record player sometimes, but this has been like a piece of cake. And I know I'm probably jinxing it by saying that we're going to have like a horrible April or something where we get like 38 inches of snow and it's 10 below. And you know what? If that happens, you have every right to come after me. But for tonight, I'm looking out the window. It's just a beautiful night here in downtown Green Bay, broadcasting live from the City Deck Landing in our WGBW studios here at Civic Media. Conrad, are you here?
Yeah.
Awesome.
I made it.
Always great to have you here, buddy. Conrad is ready. We've got questions. We've got guests tonight. We've got so much fun lined up. It's like the weekend's almost here. Your weekend is already here. Congratulations. We have a couple hours to go yet, and we're going to try and make that as fun for you as we possibly can. Talking some show business, talking a little football, some snacks. Got some great guests coming in tonight. Last night was fun. We had Ask Your Mother. Two guys from Ask Your Mother, Eric and Adam, were here. They performed three songs or four songs in studio. That was great. And then we had Nick and Caitlin here from the Green Bay Film Festival. The in-studio guest lineup continues. Tonight, Dom Salvia from The Devil's Advocate will be here in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm very excited to talk to Dom. I really don't know Dom that well. I know Kroot a little better, but I had fun talking to Dom at a company Christmas party. So I'm really excited to have him in the studio and check his knowledge of TV and film. I know he can talk politics. But let's see when it comes down to the really important stuff, what Dom knows. And then fast becoming a friend of the show, WBAY-TV's morning anchor Emerson Lehman will also be here. He stops by at 9 o'clock in studio. The last time he was here, you remember that, Conrad?
Yeah.
Snowpocalypse.
And he made it in studio.
He could have very easily said, nope, StreamYard it is, or I will phone. but he got some dogs and a sled, and he made it. The guy's tops in my book, and I'm excited. It'll be fun. We're going to give Emerson a movie quiz later like we did Rachel Maddow. All the Green Bay on-camera hosts, we have to give movie quizzes to. That's just the rule. So Emerson, we'll see what his movie acumen is a little later when he comes by. And then at 8:35, Arthur Ersink, the creator of Wisconsin Foodie, is here. Arthur is just a really sharp guy. He created this show that's won awards and is on in so many markets, and he's very knowledgeable. We're going to ask him about Super Bowl snacks because he has like all these great ideas, because I've interviewed him once before and we had a lot of fun. So he'll be along at 8:30. Not in studio, but in spirit and over the stream. We'll welcome Arthur in just a little while. And today is National Cut the Cord Day. I don't know if you guys knew this. I gave up cable probably in 2015. I just was done with it. And, you know, that saved me, what, $80-$90 a month. And now I've replaced that cost by paying $1,200 a month for all the streaming services. But I did cut the cord. This is National Cut the Cord Day. Conrad, do you have cable for TV?
See, I haven't had cable since I moved out of my parents' house to go to college. So
to save some money or what?
Just because I was like, you know, I don't need it. So I just went to Netflix, Prime Video, all those. And, you know, YouTube TV, not cable, but I just use it for sports. So I don't really watch anything else on TV.
The catch is you still need cable. You need a wireless. If you want to stream, you need wireless.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a catch 22, but yeah, I don't, in fact, when I'm in a hotel now and I have access to all these cable channels, I find it overwhelming. I almost like that. Cause I used to have it on in the background. I'd have news on or sports or whatever. And it was just like noise.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. I used to just watch like ESPN in the background or anything like that.
Right.
Be barely paying attention.
Exactly. And now I go right to what I want to watch. I'm not saying that makes me a better person, but it allowed me to cut the cord. So happy National Cut the Cord Day, people. If you've cut the cord, congrats. If you're thinking about it, go for it. You won't regret it. I'm sure Spectrum loves hearing me say that. It's also National Pizza Day. That would have been a great question of the night if the Super Bowl weren't in 2 days. We could have said, like, what's your favorite kind of pizza, your favorite topping? You could still text that in.
Or does pineapple belong on pizza?
I don't think so.
No, I actually like it. I really enjoy it.
Do you?
I like the Hawaiian pizza with Canadian bacon and pineapple.
I'm going to say something here.
Okay.
I mean this in the most respectful way possible. I really think your parents are good people, Conrad, but I don't know where they went wrong there. people love it. I mean, I'm not on an island. I think probably people are 50-50 on that one, but it is National Pizza Day. So however you like your pizza, rejoice in this day, and it's National Toothache Day. Okay. But our question tonight, given the Super Bowl, and keeping with the entertainment theme, you're welcome to text in a prediction. You know, if you think Kansas City or you want to go San Francisco, text us your prediction. That's fine. Give us a score. But our main question, what's the best Super Bowl halftime show you ever saw? Let us know. What is the best Super Bowl halftime show you've ever seen? 844-967-2789, 844-9-PARTY. You can text off the app, too. It's really easy. We're on statewide, so all you have to do is click on any one of the stations that comes up on the Civic Media app, and there's a little text icon. Let us know what you think. What is your favorite? What's the best Super Bowl halftime show you ever saw? Mine, I'll go first. U2, right after 9/11. I'm gonna open up here to the listeners, and I'm gonna tell you something. My son was 1 year old. 9/11 happened like 2 days after his first birthday. And I guess, you know, I didn't really process it for a while. Obviously, it affected all of us. It affected me. I woke up that morning. I lived in L.A. at the time. I didn't know if terrorists were striking L.A. I was afraid to open the blinds as to what I might see after I heard what happened in New York. But, you know, you just kind of stuff that down, and you're a new parent, and you kind of put on a strong face or whatever. Well, I think that same year was when U2 played the Super Bowl halftime show in New Orleans, and they had a banner of all the names of the victims at 9/11. They didn't get through it all because it's a limited time during halftime, but it was, and they did Streets Have No Name and Beautiful Day, and I lost it. I bawled, and that was how I dealt with 9/11. I stuffed it down, and it just sort of hit me during the Super Bowl halftime show. I want to say that was Tom Brady's first Super Bowl win too. But anyway, that was easily my favorite Super Bowl halftime show was U2. I loved Springsteen. I think Prince did it several years ago. Loved Prince's show. That was great. Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake. Aside from the wardrobe incident, I thought that was a good show. Conrad, do you have a favorite?
I got to go with Shakira.
Shakira. Oh, that was a good one, too. That was 3 years ago, really good right? One.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really good.
Who else was there? Was it Beyonce? Or I forget who else was with her, but yeah, Shakira was great.
Yeah, she was. And I wanted the year Fergie did it. That was fun, too. I think it was Slash, maybe?
Hey.
I'm going to pull up all the shows here.
I also really liked when Eminem was there and all like 50 Cent. That was a really cool one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God, I forgot about some of these.
Snoop Dogg was there as well, I believe.
Snoop Dogg did it, I think, with like an ensemble. I think they had a lot of performers, and that was Snoop Dogg did it just like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eminem, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. That was a cool one. I liked that one a lot.
Yeah.
The Weeknd in 2021. I had never even heard of The Weeknd.
That was such a crazy show with the stuff they did on stage.
All the lights. And, yeah, that was. Yeah, here you go. Shakira, Jennifer Lopez, Bad Bunny. And then
that's right. It was Jennifer Lopez, not Beyonce.
Two other names I can't pronounce. Maroon 5. That was a dud, in my opinion.
I remember like one of the first weeks of the show, you pulled something from Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't that from the Super Bowl show?
It was. The guy, he's the main attraction of the Super Bowl halftime show. And he says, would anybody mind if I played a little guitar? First of all, you're not Eddie Van Halen. I'm sure he's a fine guitarist, but his name is escaping me at the moment. Adam Levine. He, just kind of lame, I thought. It was almost like they didn't know what to do that year, so, I mean, no disrespect, whatever. They never asked me to do the Super Bowl halftime show.
I would love to see that.
I can cut a rug, believe me. Justin Timberlake did it twice with the Tennessee Kids. Lady Gaga was good. Coldplay, love Coldplay. Beyonce, that was the year Beyonce was in it.
Yes.
Katy Perry and Lenny Kravitz, that was really cool. Oh, Beyonce did it in 2013, too. When hasn't Beyonce done the Super Bowl? Yeah, 2011 was the Black Eyed Peas, Usher, and Slash. That was really cool. So anyway, that's our question tonight. What was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show ever? Let us know. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can also text us your predictions. Text us. Let us know what you're thinking. You got personal problems? I'm here for you. So few people ask me for advice, and I can't figure it out. Lots of fun tonight. Arthur Ersink coming up in a little bit. Then we got Emerson Lehman from WBAY-TV. And Dom is here from the Devils, one half of the Dom and Crute crime-fighting duo. Coming up next, Little Red Corvette, Joe Pesci and the Simpsons. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I don't want to be your son. Only lover I'm ever going to need. A soft, sweet little girl's talk.
You're listening to Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. It's fully leaded education talk. Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7. On the talk you can't ignore, Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 11 till noon on the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX and on the Civic Media app.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
I guess I should know. Welcome back to Nightlights. A few beats here of Little Red Corvette, which hit the airwaves in 1983 on this day. Big hit for Prince. Such a great song. That was off the 1999 album. I cannot believe it's 2024. And in 1983, 1999 seemed like light years away. And now it's 24 years in the rear view. It's crazy. That's Prince with Little Red Corvette. Got some other birthdays here. Joe Pesci turns 81. Carole King turns 82. Michael B. Jordan is 37. The other Michael B. Jordan. I know he's Creed. To me, he'll always be the kid from The Wire. He was so good in that. And William Henry Harrison, folks, one of, as the Simpsons call him, the mediocre presidents. He died on this day. No, I'm sorry, he did not die on this day. This is his 68th birthday. He died in 1841. His presidency was very short-lived. The word on the street, at least in 1841, it's a little oral history, it's made it almost 200 years. He got sick at his inaugural or giving his speech and passed away like 30 days into office. And we have a clip commemorating this great man, our president, from memorializing him only the way the Simpsons can, lumping him in with the mediocre presidents in a song called The Mediocre Presidents. Here it is.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a wonderful evening of theater and picking up after yourselves. We begin with a tribute to our lesser-known presidents.
We are the mediocre presidents. You won't find our faces on dollars or on cents. There's Taylor, there's Tyler, there's Fillmore, and there's Hayes. There's William Henry Harrison.
I died in 30 days.
We are the adequate, forgettable, occasionally regrettable, caretaker presidents of the U.S.
Only The Simpsons could get me to even attempt to sing on the air. I love The Simpsons are so great when they do that. Whenever someone's giving a speech and it's not going over well, they always throw in that complete silence except for a cough from the back of the audience. Like, oh man, that's a great song. Let's stick with The Simpsons right now, okay, man, because our question tonight is, what was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show ever? Text us on the app or on the text line and let us know. You can also text in your prediction. But The Simpsons had a little fun with the Super Bowl halftime show. We've got two clips. You could play them in either order, Conrad.
All right.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock,
rock.
5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock,
rock.
9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the world tonight.
Oh, this sucks. Come on, snipers, where are you?
And then this is one when Homer's driving home, and there was a group called Up With People that was like this ambassador group from America. They're all incredibly talented kids, very perky, very upbeat, and this is The Simpsons having a little fun with that group.
And now, get set for our fabulous halftime show, featuring the well-groomed young go-getters of Hooray for Everything.
Oh, I love those kids. They've got such a great attitude.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hooray for Everything invites you to join them in a salute to the greatest hemisphere on Earth. The Western Hemisphere, the dancinest hemisphere of all.
Homer's flashing his lights right now. That's great. And then he goes into the old folks' home where his dad is staying, and there's a sign next to the door that says, "Thank you for not discussing the outside world." So great. So those are the two little Simpson tributes we had to the Super Bowl halftime show and to William Henry Harrison, whose birthday is today. His life was cut short in 1841 after 30 days in the Oval Office. That is a record, folks. It's also Carole King's birthday today. We have a little, I'm going to let you pick that. You seem to become a Carole King fan today, Conrad. So I'll let you pick, why don't you play like a minute or two. We've got a few Carole King songs we can play in and out of breaks, but fire away.
Makes you tap your feet. You
it's
know?
Like, yeah, and you know what's so funny? Like, pardon me, I kind of grew up listening to Carole King and just a lot of different songs, but when I was looking for music today in honor of her birthday, I cannot believe and I forgot how many hits she had. She's just was phenomenal. So Carole King is 82 today. Happy birthday, Carole King. So we got to have a little bit of super talk here, Conrad. It is a national holiday.
Yeah.
And your dad just texted in from the 920, Steve from Florida. That's the very far south end of the 920 area code.
Just a little bit.
He says, the best get back to a great Super Bowl halftime show was when Paul McCartney played. Unbelievable halftime show that the world saw and heard. Is your dad a big Beatles fan?
I believe so, yeah.
Sounds like it, but yeah. I mean, it's funny. I'm in that discussion as to Beatles solo careers. I used to be Lennon over McCartney, and now I'm like George Harrison over both of them. Like, George Harrison has some amazing songs, but having said that, I mean, I would love to go to a Paul McCartney concert. I've never done that, and that was a cool Super Bowl, Steve. I agree. Halftime show, that is. Steve, do you have a prediction for the game? Lay it on us, buddy. Conrad, you got one?
Well, so there's a game called Madden, and it's, yeah, you know, it's based off NFL, and they always do a sim prediction every year. And they play the game out, just the computer's playing, and they had the Chiefs winning 30-28. So I'm going with that.
Wow. Okay. All right. So just to play devil's advocate in honor of our guest in the 9 o'clock hour, Dom, who will be here and hosts the devil's advocate with Crute, I'm going to say San Francisco. I mean, I'm a casual fan, but I just don't see how they can defend all their weapons. Like, Brock Purdy is so stacked around him. And the Chiefs, it's like if you shut down Kelsey, no one's really been able to do that yet. And the running back, Pacheco, I think his name is. He's very good.
Yeah.
But I just, we'll continue this. I'm not going to totally commit to San Francisco, but I'm leaning San Francisco 28-24 in an attempt by Mahomes will come up short at the end. But we'll revisit this. Coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, Arthur Ersink from Wisconsin Foodie on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show. ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The U.S. and Germany unite in support of an ally in need.
Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz saying without the EU and U.S. support,
you can have not the chance to defend its own country.
President Biden pushing his own Congress to make sure that happens.
How much is at stake? They better step on.
U.S. Senate now working on that Ukraine-Israel-Taiwan funding, minus their failed border bill. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Ukraine's president met with a bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers in Kyiv a day after the Senate voted to work on that emergency spending bill, which includes aid to the nation, Israel, and Taiwan. A day after the special counsel's report, President Biden says he's going to appoint a task force to oversee the handling of classified documents during presidential transitions. Hawaii and California both shaken today by earthquakes. The S&P closes above 5,000 for the first time. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has seen its first ever tornado touchdown in February. The National Weather Service says it happened between Evansville and Edgerton in south central Wisconsin Thursday night. No one was killed, though there were some minor injuries reported. The tornadoes brought widespread damage to farms, homes, and businesses. It's tax season again. The AARP has 120 tax aid locations open around Wisconsin to give seniors some free help filing their taxes. The AARP's Darren Wozniewski.
Even a modest refund for somebody who's, you know, living on Social Security can go a long way to helping alleviate some of the financial stress that they might be under.
Volunteers are IRS certified and trained on the latest tax code changes. Help is available in person or online. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Connect the dots. Would you dip into your retirement savings to make a loan to climate-polluting oil, coal, and gas companies? Well, you already have if you're a member of Wisconsin's public employee retirement system. Go to climatesafepensionswisconsin.org. Sign the petition. Common Sense Investments, not financing polluters. Future generations will thank you for visiting. That's climatesafepensionswisconsin.org.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the upper 20s. And partly sunny into tomorrow, high upper 30s. A mix of sun and clouds and a high approaching 40 Sunday. The warmth continues into early next week. Sunshine at around 40 degrees for Monday and Tuesday. Currently it's 37.
Welcome to the Lazy Wolf Lounge, Madison's East Side place for friends and family to meet for fun and food. Stop in for great daily lunch specials, soups made from scratch, and jaw-dropping burgers, wraps, and sandwiches. Plus Friday fish fry and homemade pizza cooked in a classic stone hearth pizza oven. The Lazy Wolf Lounge, 1617 North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook or at LazyWolfLounge.com.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Connecting the dots between the left and the right. Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim. Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at 1. On the talk you can't ignore. Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I like your stories and your reporting. Great show.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Before we bring in Arthur, I just want to give a shout out to a friend of mine and fellow Milwaukeean, Mark Borchardt. Mark is just a great guy. He and I have become friends over the years. He's a prolific filmmaker. He knows a ton about movies and the whole movie making process. Very knowledgeable guy. I love his posts on Twitter. If you aren't following Mark Borchardt on Twitter, find him, because he posts really inspirational stuff, especially if you're a creative type or a writer. And he shares our posts on social media. So thank you, Mark. Hope you're listening. And thanks for being a pal. Okay, we got a couple more texts here from the 920. Jim from Appleton says, thinking about it for a while, the best halftime show is still Prince. That was in 2007, and that was a phenomenal show. Jim, I would have to agree with you. Maybe not best ever, but I'm there with you. It was a great show. Conrad's mom chiming in.
Yep.
We were getting worried, Paula. Bruno Mars with Coldplay and Beyonce, or as Brent Musburger would say, Beyonce. That was a fun show, too. And then also, Paula, I put it on the show. Okay. She's just making sure we got it. That's awesome. All right. Keep those texts coming. What was your favorite Super Bowl halftime show ever? You can text us a prediction of the score, whatever you think. And you're welcome to text in during my interview with our next guest. It is my pleasure to welcome the creator of Wisconsin Foodie, Arthur Ersink. Arthur, hi.
Hey, what's going on, man? How you doing, Pete?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for taking time out on a Friday night.
Oh, my pleasure, man. You know, where I was pulled away from the sixth grade dance to come and do this. So, you know, I was a hall monitor tonight at the sixth grade dance, and I'm sure there's kids slipping out the back door right now. But it's all worth it to be here with you.
I'm really glad you said you were a hall monitor at the sixth grade dance, because I was, that would have been creepy. No, you have kids?
It would have been a little weird. Yeah.
Do you have kids that are?
I love your shout out to Mark Borchardt. I want to echo your shout out to Mark Borchardt, because that dude is extremely just influential in our filmmaking community here in Milwaukee. And I have the pleasure, you know, he doesn't know me. I'm kind of a secret stalker, but not to be creepy again. Geez, just like right away, I'm just like double creepy.
You're off
on your
to a
show
good
here.
Start, yeah.
But no, he. So I help run a farmer's market here in Shorewood, you know, in the community that I live here, and he's at the farmer's market every weekend. He brings out a chair.
Oh,
he
really?
Comes, sits, and he just hangs out at the farmer's market. But you know, I think you know he was. You know, I would say that film, American Movie, Chris Smith directed, Mike Shank, Mark Borchardt, like that was such a huge inspiration for me to move back to Milwaukee, because I was going to film school in Vancouver, British Columbia at the time that came out.
Oh, wow.
And I was actually feeling pretty homesick. I spent a lot of my life trying to escape Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I was living in Canada, living in Vancouver for a while. And when that movie came out, that broke me. You know, I felt like if this is coming out of Milwaukee, it might be time to move back and start making film, and you know, here we are now.
You certainly were true to your word. You've been doing a lot of that. And I agree. Mark is just like, he's just so entrenched in the culture in Milwaukee. He seems to love River West and just the film community and the book community. And I'm totally with you. And thanks for the shout out on his behalf as well. But tell us about, just in the event that there's someone listening that isn't familiar with your show, and I highly doubt that. Tell us a little bit about Wisconsin Foodie, 14-year run so far.
Yeah, it's been, man, it's just, I could never have dreamed of this happening and this being on for so long, but it just speaks to, you know, it speaks to the hunger that people have here in Wisconsin to know more about their food and know the stories behind their food. We have such a rich tradition of food here. The show is called Wisconsin Foodie. It's on PBS. Every Thursday, 7:30. If you're not in Milwaukee, and in Milwaukee, it's 9:30. We're also really big into YouTube. That's been our big push lately. It's been a really fantastic sort of avenue for us, and we've been able to reach, you know, people around the world with the show. And you know, you'd be surprised. The show called Wisconsin Foodie really, really, really travels well. And you know, there's people all over the world that tune into our show, and it's really exciting. You know, it's really exciting to know that people are. are watching all these great stories here in wine, and hopefully they come and visit and they try the food for themselves. But yeah, you're like you said, 14 years. I never thought that this would be, you know, my life's work. You know, at the time I was in between jobs. I think I, you know, was recently fired from like an ad agency. And I, you know, I just said to myself, like, you know, I sat down and had a napkin and I said, you know, I really want to make something like this work. I think there's a real opportunity for local television. And, you know, at the time there really, you know, there really wasn't any, the bar was set, you know, and I hate to say this because there's a lot of like, believe me, there's good television, but the bar was set kind of low for local television. And I thought, well, with the group of filmmakers that I knew, and, you know, a lot of the filmmakers that I knew and I started off with were attached to Chris Smith, the director of American Movie. You know, Barry Polterman was a big editor for that. And, just that whole crew there. And I really learned a lot about the craft and with them as mentors, I was really able to kind of set something out on my own and create this show that's totally independent. And you know, it's just for 14 years, it's been going on and it's just been growing and growing. So it's cool, man. I'm really, it's a lot of fun. We have so much fun doing the show. You know, that would be the one thing that I have to say is like, I pinch myself, you know, we get paid to like go out there and just have so much fun in Wisconsin, eat good food and tell incredible stories.
So you mentioned that you left a job and you jotted something down on a napkin. What made you, or telling stories behind food, Arthur, how did you think of that? That's just like, sometimes the greatest ideas are just the simplest. And I'm not saying that's simple, but no one else has done that really. Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there were people, you know, here and there locally. I mean, probably nobody is as big of a run as we've been on in the style that we've been, you know, we've been focused on. But, you know, is my two passions is filmmaking and food. And I really, you know, I saw a need for that in Milwaukee. I thought like I could see the local food movement sort of, that is like a, I don't know, like a food trend. I could see that sort of growing. And I really wanted to, and I really thought there would be an opportunity to kind of work in two crafts. Say like work in my craft as a filmmaker, but also, you know, work with food and work with chefs. And, you know, it worked out really. I mean, it was really cool. There's a lot of like, you know, at the time, you know, one big inspiration, you know, was, obviously like, you know, Bourdain was on TV and, you know, there was this one show, Gourmet magazine made a show that was on PBS, and like that was the only show that was like going around telling stories about food and food producers. And I'm a, you know, huge fan of the documentary filmmaking process. I love documentaries, and that's kind of where my focus was. And I thought like, wow, I know all these great filmmakers, and you know, we have the equipment. So you know, after we had this idea on a napkin, I was in Montreal at the time, and I came back to Wisconsin. And it was like, I just pressed the button. I said, let's make a pilot here. Let's try something. And, you know, we put something together. We brought it to Channel 12 and we said, hey, would you be interested in something like this? And they said, hey, could you get us 3 more episodes in a month? And, you know, that first episode took me like 3 months to make. So, but, you know, I said, yes, like, you know, like anybody in that situation, I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And I think for the last 14 years, we've been chasing a deadline. And, you know, it's kind of ironic that we're talking about this right now, because I just finished editing the last episode of this new season right now. Was just turned in today. So,
so you can take a deep breath.
Chasing it. And you know what? I'm about a month late on my deadline. So I've been chasing this deadline for the last 14 years of my life, but here we are. This is my editing beard right now.
Yeah. I was going to say, for a fan of food, you're a pretty lean guy, so you must eat pretty healthy. But I remember the last time I interviewed you on a different show, I don't know if you told me this or other people told me this, that you're kind of a one-man operation. You shoot it, you edit it, you do. I'm sure you have help, but have you hired more people? Because mm-hmm. filmmaking is grueling.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially as you get like, you know, older and more tired, you know, it's like, it could be a struggle, especially, you know, going to a cheese make at like 2 a.m, you know, it's like those aren't easy, you know, and you're there for like 5 hours shooting this whole cheese make. No, I've been, you know, as we've kind of like built up the business, you know, we have so many great sponsors and underwriters of the show that see our vision and want to support the mission. And we've been able to hire just a fantastic crew. And that's like, I'm like, I get so excited because I can support local artists and local friends that are filmmakers that may not have another outlet, right? I mean, they're like, people are struggling to try to make commercials or, you know, doing like maybe a music video on the side, but I'm able to, you know, through Wisconsin Foodie, hire these really ultra talented people and give them opportunities. And like the camera guys that I've worked with over the past 14 years, I've seen that they've moved to like HBO shows, Vice News, like they are like all over the place, and they've been able to, like, Foodie let them work on their craft, and they've been able to take that to the next level. So that's really exciting for me, is just to be able to hire some, like, you know, some people, you know, that may not have all the opportunity in the world, and really let them, you know, have fun and work on their craft with the show.
Yeah, for sure. My guest is Arthur Ersing. He is the creator of the long-running and award-winning Wisconsin Foodie. If you have not checked it out yet, you absolutely must. Where can people outside of Milwaukee see it? You mentioned YouTube, but where else?
Yeah, you know, our YouTube channel is kind of where I really direct people. It's honestly the future, right? I mean,
yeah.
I have a 12-year-old, and like I look at what he's watching, and it's like, that's where I don't even think my child knows how to operate a TV. Like, he just goes and clicks on YouTube and watches his show. And I'm like, if he's watching the show right now at 12 years old there, that's where we got to be, because that's the future, right? Is like, that's how people are going to find us. So, you know, we have a Wisconsin Foodie YouTube channel, and, you know, we're slowly building it up. I get to impress all of his friends by saying, yeah, we have like, you know, we have 17,000 subscribers, you know, so if you're listening to this, we're trying to get to 20,000 subscribers, trying to impress all of his friends, you know, but yeah, that's where, you know, that's where you can find us. We're also, you know, on, a lot of the Midwest affiliated PBS stations. So, we're in
Chicago, that's
pretty cool. We're in the Twin Cities, Milwaukee and Wisconsin. So yeah, it's really growing, and it's fun to see the people outside of Wisconsin really into what's happening here in Wisconsin. So we're just trying to get more people to move here.
Yeah. Well, not too many though. We like it the way it is too, don't we? I mean, So I know after several seasons, Arthur, you switched hosts. How was that a challenge in the whole process? That had to be kind of harrowing in some ways, because you have this proven brand. What was that like?
Yeah, that was really tough, Pete. You know, like that was a challenge, because, you know, Kyle had been there through the thick and thin. I mean, we really, you know, before Wisconsin Foodie, he wasn't a host of a, you know, he wasn't a TV show host. He had another profession, and I thought, you know, I thought he'd be perfect for what we were doing. And, you know, honestly, he's, you know, I give him so much credit for getting us to where we are today. You know, but, you know, with TV, it's entertainment, you know, there's always, sometimes you have to make a change you have to go in a different direction, and you have to change it up. And, you know, for me, it was time. You know, I think I got the sense from him. He was, you know, like, you got to keep building, right? Everybody on the show has to keep building, has to try to strive to get better year after year. And it's a struggle, right? It can be challenging. And I think when you're doing a local show like that, you know, you're getting recognized everywhere you go. You can't go to a water park without somebody coming up to you and like, and talking to you. So it, you know, I think that can wear somebody out pretty quickly. And
sure.
And, somebody like Luke, had such a different energy. And as a chef, I thought that was extremely important, skill set for the show. And so it was a challenge, but for me, it was, it was the right move. It was a tough move to make, but it was the right time.
That's why you get paid the big bucks, buddy. So I want to talk to you a little bit too. We'll get to this next, but some Super Bowl snacks. And I want to ask you about cinematography. Yeah. You seem to have a passion for that as well. So we'll talk with Arthur a little more about that. That's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It would be so fine to see your face at my door. It doesn't help to know you're just time away. Long ago I reached for you and there you stood. Holding you again could only do me good. How I wish I could, but you're so far away. One more song about moving along the highway.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
It's Black History Month, and civic media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915 and thousands are there to celebrate. 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lobel Show.
Welcome back. From the 920, Steve says, even though I hate the San Francisco 49ers, I do respect the young quarterback Brock Purdy. His quick thinking and quick scrambling feet is the reason the past couple playoff game wins. Chiefs will fall short of another Super Bowl win. Prediction, it will be San Francisco by 14, maybe 17, with Purdy being the MVP. Sorry, Taylor Swift. Your future husband will have a great game, but will not be the MVP. My guest is Arthur Ersink. Arthur, do you have a prediction on the game? Are you a sports fan or?
A huge sports fan, but I'm also like a homer. So between the two, I'm more excited about the food and the snacks that we're all going to get together and eat. But you got to give it to Mr. Irrelevant, right? Brock Purdy, last pick in the draft. And
great story.
Super Bowl. What a great story.
As a filmmaker, I'm sure you appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that good old comeback story. I can see the movie now. So
yeah,
all in it for the snacks now, my friend. That is what I'm all about. I'm like I'm a snack guy. I think I live on snacks. You know, unfortunately, maybe that's why I keep it a little trimmer. But no, I can't. For events like this, when Christmas or Thanksgiving come around, I'm just, man, it's all about the food for me. And the Super Bowl is, you could add that right into one of those holidays, because you can guarantee the food's usually going to be good at a Super Bowl party.
Absolutely. So if the Ersinks are having a party, what are you serving for snacks?
Yeah, man. So the one thing that I'm, I'm known for is the ultimate cheese plate. I'm like the guy that's going out and I just give them credit card and I just pick out all the cheeses and, make that charcuterie board, and it's all local, all the best cheese you can get in Wisconsin, but it's gotta be the right cheese, especially for a part like a Super Bowl party. Right. There's got to be a little mixture of everything in there. And there was an episode that I actually aired yesterday on Wisconsin Foodie. It was profiling a company that a cheese company called Alpinage. They make a raclette cheese. And raclette cheese, I don't know if you've ever had raclette cheese,
no.
But it's known as this cheese that like is melted. So it's a giant, it's like a wheel of washed rind cheese. And like you put it next to like a heating element and it just sort of oozes down and you scrape this cheese like you put it on a plate of potatoes or a ham sandwich. Man, it is insane. So I, because I've been watching that show and editing that show, right. I cannot wait to start melting. I'm going to melt cheese everywhere. I like you just hand me something. I'm going to melt cheese and scrape it on your dish. I'm excited about that.
It's funny. I mean, I'm from the Midwest, but when I was living out West, I had the opportunity to taste smoked Gouda for the first time, a really good smoked Gouda. And oh my gosh, not even regular Gouda, smoked.
Right?
It's gotta be smoked. It's so good.
It takes it to the next level.
Yeah.
Smoking the cheese, it takes it to that next level. And that's smoked Gouda.
Whew. So are people intimidated? Like if you go to a party and they have snacks out, are they like intimidated because you're there and you're like this food expert?
Oh man, I hope not. I'm so chill about it all, man. I love all sorts of food, believe me, I went from, I've been snobbish at times. I've been through the roller coaster, right? But like, you can find something, you can find something good everywhere. And I don't judge, I love a good snack and, you know, even if it's a Dorito, you know, I don't, you know, I'll jump right in there. So, you know, I just, you know, my big thing is like, I really just like to support our, like the businesses that we have here, small businesses, and big businesses, you know, that's my real goal, because we have so many good products here. And like, I just love to showcase all those products.
Yeah. When did Milwaukee become, I might've asked you this last time we talked, it's like this amazing restaurant town now. Has it always been that? And I just didn't know, or is this kind of a new thing in the last 10, 20 years?
It's been, man, I think it's really been elevated recently. Like I think in the last 10 years, it's just really exploded with restaurants. And, you know, how exciting is that? I mean, up until recently, there's been some restaurants where, you know, like you could have walked into any restaurant on a weekend and gotten a table. Now there's reservations. You got to go on online and reserve a table. And if you didn't do it in time, you're not getting into a restaurant over the weekend. And that's that's a big change for Milwaukee. And I think, you know, you've seen it, like if you follow, you know, I follow James Beard Awards, you know, it's the big sort of Emmy or the big Emmys or Oscars for chefs, and Milwaukee, Madison, super well represented. They are just like, you can see it is just littered with Wisconsin chefs and restaurants, and especially Milwaukee. Like this year alone, so many Milwaukee restaurants. Not only that, but what's really exciting is one of those chefs that's nominated this year, Dan Jacobs, is going to be on Top Chef this year. And that's all, it takes place all in Wisconsin. So when that comes out, oh my gosh, sit back and enjoy the ride there, because
that's cool. I mean,
people are going to be just besides themselves on all the cool things happening here in Wisconsin.
That's so great. I know people look at you, like I just said, and they're probably maybe intimidated because you have all this knowledge about food now, but you're also a pretty accomplished filmmaker. And that's part of the reason Wisconsin Foodie was able to get up and running. What do you, if you had to choose, and maybe you can roll this into my next question, what's next for you? Like, you love filmmaking. Do you like cinematography, editing, storytelling? What's your favorite part?
You know, I really love storytelling, and I love all aspects of filmmaking. And that's kind of how I came up. You know, I went to a traditional film school, and, you know, was used to all the different roles in a crew. When I came back to Milwaukee, I didn't have that. I had a camera, you know, that's all I had. And I had to figure out a way to like make film. Like I got into, like, I love like narrative, fiction narrative. I thought I was going to be a director, you know, every young film student's going to like be a director someday.
Yeah.
But when I got back to Milwaukee, I didn't have those connections. I just had like a camera, and I turned into a documentary filmmaker just because of that, because I went out and I just filmed stories with my camera, and then I'd go back and edit. Really funny story for you is when I first got back to Milwaukee, I applied for a job to do this TV show, Builder Showcase. It was like an early morning show on the weekends, and it was a show that kind of profiled like home builders and like their kind of thing. And they needed an editor, and they asked like, "Hey, so do you know how to use Final Cut Pro? Do you know all this and that?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm proficient in Final Cut Pro." And so I got the job. I had never once touched Final Cut Pro. You know, I had to go out and I bought the program that night. And like, you know, I went out, I really taught myself how to use the editing software. But and that's just kind of how it is. You know, I really, you know, try to do everything. But honestly, like right now, I just got through this whole season of editing, which it started in September, and it just ended right now of the season. And I love the editing process. That is probably one of my favorite parts of the filmmaking process is the editing. And it's always a challenge. It's a puzzle, you know, and I love the shows that we just totally screwed up. You know, sometimes we just totally screw up a show.
You gotta fix them.
We try something new, it doesn't work, it's totally jacked up, and we're like, oh my God, how do we fix this? And like, that's when it gets fun.
You know, Arthur,
as an editor,
I can't thank you enough. Thanks so much for your time tonight. Get back to that dance, my friend, and we'll do this again soon.
Steve,
I hope.
Great, man. It's great catching up for you.
Yeah, keep us posted. That's Arthur Ersing. Thank you, buddy. Come back and see us soon, please. All right, have a great night. Thanks. That's Arthur Ersing from Wisconsin Foodie. Coming up next, Emerson Lehman from WBAY-TV. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the city where the official bird is the plastic pink flamingo, this is Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay, go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Civic Media network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. You're listening to Mad Radio. WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.